Our first reading this morning comes from familiar words, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends the first reading.
From the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of the Lord. Jesus says, I know my own, and my own know me. I wonder what it means to be known by God. British writer and Christian apologist C.S. Lewis said that there are two ways of knowing. One is from the outside as an observer, and the other is from the inside as a participant in something. He developed this observation in his essay entitled Meditation on a Tool Shed. Lewis found himself in a dark tool shed with a beam of light streaming through a small crack in the roof. When he looked at the beam of light as an observer, what he saw was light streaming in from above. Most of the world specializes in this kind of observational knowing, he said. If you want to understand some phenomenon, you can look at it from the outside. You can step back and see what you see as an observer, which tells you a lot. But it does not tell you everything, because it is only one way of knowing. When he changed his position and stepped into the beam of light and looked around from within it, he saw things quite differently. From within the sunbeam, he saw that which was affected by it. He saw the results of the light. The kind of knowing that characterizes the Christian life, Lewis argued, is not observational from the outside, but rather participatory from the inside. You can attempt to know faith by looking at Christianity objectively, but you will never know it fully as a mere observer. Rather, we know more about God by looking with other people illumined from within the community, as if to step inside a beam of light, we look with stories and images from the Bible. We look with the Christian tradition. We look with other believers. If you want to know what following Jesus Christ is all about, step inside the community of faith and you will better come to know from within. Our scripture reading from John's Gospel contrasts these two ways of knowing. It is from a longer chapter in which Jesus repeatedly calls upon the familiar biblical image of the shepherd to describe himself. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, "compared to the hired hand." The hired hand is after worldly priorities and out to gain something. The hired hand knows the sheep objectively from the outside. And if the sheep is in peril, the hired hand has little investment and nothing to lose. Concerned with only monetary gain, the hired hand expends a minimal amount of work needed to care for the sheep. The wolf comes along looking for supper. And the hired hand, risking neither life nor limb, runs away while the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. The good shepherd, by contrast, has a different way of knowing. Jesus knows us each by name. Jesus leads, guides, feeds, and seeks the lost from the perspective of being within the fold. The good shepherd sees the peril of the sheep as one of us. Indeed, Jesus never runs away, but goes so far as to lay down his life for the sheep. When Jesus talks about his relationship with the sheep, he uses this word again and again to know them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. But the good shepherd, Jesus says, "I know my own, and my own know me." It's because within the fold, Jesus has gathered the ones he knows, followers, sinners, lepers, women, men, little children, the outsiders, Samaritans, tax collectors, and anyone who would heed his invitation. In order for us to know God from within, Jesus invites us to step inside his beam of light and not simply observe the faith from the outside, but to look with one another. This is an important gospel word for us at Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church. On this day in which we ordain and install elders and deacons, and a new class of trustees also begins their term of service, our Presbyterian form of government is clear that elected leaders of the church serve along with. I always begin officer training by reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, which admonishes church leaders, "Do not lord it over your charge, but be examples to the flock." The elected leaders of our church are called to live by the example of Christ, discerning God's will, and measuring the fidelity of the whole congregation's witness to the word of God. In a word, they are above all else charged with tending the flock of Jesus Christ. The ritual of laying on of hands at ordination is ancient, going all the way back to the time of Moses and his brother Aaron. Since those early days of ancient Israel, God has called leaders for each new generation to meet new challenges of being the sheep of God's fold together. There is constancy in the call, but we know that the times are ever changing. Church life today is far different from what it was even a generation ago. For one thing, on Sunday, the church is not the only game in town anymore. The church in North America long ago ceased to be the tallest building in the city or the primary center of community life. Many of us remember a day when there was not much to do on Sunday other than church. When blue laws protected the church from commercial competition. But that reality has changed. And we now compete with all kinds of callings. Sports. Starbucks and the morning newspaper. A few more hours in the office to catch up on work. You name it. But this is also true of our new reality. A sense of community is everywhere eroding. According to studies by sociologists at Cornell and Duke Universities, in the last 25 years, we have become increasingly isolated and are at risk of losing human connections that enable us to thrive as people and as citizens. We friend more people on Facebook, for example, but we have fewer friends. Cornell surveyed more than 2,000 adults and found that even though we are socializing more than ever, the number of truly close friends anyone has dropped. These studies show that we have fewer confidants than ever before, the kind of friend who would help us out in a tough time, who would listen sympathetically no matter what, or who would keep a secret if we shared one. On average, participants listed over 4 close friends in 1985, and that number is now below 2. The number of people who say they have not one real confidant has doubled in this time to 1 in 4. That means that 25% of our population say they do not have one close friend. The study did show that Facebook users get overall more emotional support and companionship than other people, but notes that online support and personal contact are very different. Fewer personal contacts are being created through clubs, through neighborhood associations, and organizations outside of the home. Writes Duke professor Lynn Smith Lovin, this challenge indicates something that is not good for society. Ties with a close network of people creates a safety net. These ties also lead to positive civic engagement, and local political action. God knows we need positive civic engagement these days. Quality community life is dependent on human friendship. So in this time in which there is creeping isolation among individuals in our society, one of the primary tasks of the church, it seems to me, is to provide a fold where people can experience being known by God and being known by one another. and can come to know the Good Shepherd not as an observer, but in a participatory way with Christian friends. When we ordain and install elders and deacons this morning, persons elected by you to model servant leadership in the way of Jesus Christ, they are committing to provide a community at Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church that is not unlike a sheepfold. For here we are fed and nurtured, and we are encouraged by the company of Christian friendship so that people have the support we need to navigate our way through all the ups and downs of life. These elders and deacons will confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will assent to be led by the Scriptures and our church's theological confessions. They will promise to love their neighbors. They will promise to work for the reconciliation of the world. They will promise to serve with us with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. Sounds like the work of tending a sheepfold to me, not just for the elders and the deacons, but for all of us together in this congregation. To be a fold in which we know we are known by the Good Shepherd so that we can reach out and welcome others in, so that we can be friends in Christ, and so that together we can serve in His name. Amen.